Wow.
What's up?
I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Where'd you get those shoes?
Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
That is exactly what I needed to hear.
Thank God someone here knows what you're talking about.
That's us. That's right. Gotta love this American ride.
All right, you need to take the time and get the full picture.
Come on, come on. Turn the radio on a Saturday and I won't be long.
Don't get me wrong. I love the ladies. I mean, they rev my engine, but they don't belong in the newsroom.
It is Anchor Man, not Anchor Lady.
What do you want from me? I'm not a Mary the sweetheart.
For goodness sake, kid, keep your voice down. Your father's listening to the radio.
I'm not a Mary the sweetheart.
This is the Annie Fry Show.
I say this without any personal animus at all. I mean, in some ways, I actually kind of feel sorry for Joe Biden. I mean, he's in the twilight years of his life. He is not, obviously, has not been in charge for some time. And I know this by personal observation, and now the whole world knows it. And it's been very, very concerning to me over the last, year and a half since I've had this position.
Can you
position.
Tell us a story when you say personal observation? What kind of thing did you see?
It's public now because the Wall Street Journal got it and put it on the front page. But January a year ago, almost exactly a year ago, I became Speaker in October 2023, and there were all sorts of big national security concerns and everything going on, and I started requesting a meeting with the President because, I'm kind of old school, I'm a constitutional law guy. Speaker of the House should be able to talk to the President, especially in times of great national interest and calamity. But they wouldn't let me meet with him, and his staff kept giving excuses. This went on for like 8 or 9 weeks. I'm sorry, Mr. Speaker, he doesn't have time. What are you talking about? I'm second in line of the presidency. He has time. I need to talk to him. I can't say the classified parts, but we had some big national concerns at the time that I was losing sleep over. Finally, I just went to the Hill Press Corps and I said, the president is not being allowed to meet with the speaker. There's a problem. So they started putting pressure on him. Long story short, they finally relented. They invited me to the White House. I show up and I realize it's actually an ambush because it's not just me and the president. It's also Kamala Harris, Chuck Schumer, Hakeem, the CIA director, everybody. And then, so I walked in the Oval and, I know what this is. This is they're going to hotbox the speaker on Ukraine funding. That's what it was. This is probably third week of January. We sit down, we're in the midst of it, and the whole conversation, and I'm going, we don't need to have this conversation. The president reaches over just like this. We're sitting in the right next to the fireplace in the Oval, and he grabs my arm and he says, the speaker and I just need a couple minutes together. Would y'all just leave us alone? And I looked up on the faces of some of the staff standing around the wall, and they're like, no, he did it. So he called it. He's the commander in chief. So everybody leaves, and he and I are standing awkwardly in the middle of the Oval Office right over the rug by that coffee table. And I said, Mr. President, thanks for the moments. This is very important. I got some big national security things I need to talk to you about that I've heard and I think you know, and what do we do? But first, real quickly, Mr. President, can I ask you a question? I cannot answer this from my constituents in Louisiana. Sir, why did you pause LNG exports to Europe? Like, I don't understand, liquefied natural gas is in great demand by our allies. Why would you do that? Because you understand, we just talked about Ukraine. You understand you're fueling Vladimir Putin's war machine because they got to get their gas from him, And he looks at me stunned with this, and he said, I didn't do that. And I said, Mr. President, Yes, you did. It was an executive order, like, you know, 3 weeks ago. And he goes, no, I didn't do that. And he's arguing with me. I said, Mr. President, respectfully, could I go out here and ask your secretary to print it out? We'll read it together. You definitely did that. And he goes, oh, you talk about natural gas. Yes, sir. He said, no, you misunderstand. He said, what I did is I signed this thing to, we're gonna conduct a study on the effects of LNG. I said, no, you're not, sir. You paused it. I know. I have the terminal, the export terminals in my state. I talked to those people this morning. This is doing massive damage to our economy, national security. It occurred to me, Barry, he was not lying to me. He genuinely did not know what he had signed. And I walked out of that meeting with fear and loathing because I thought, we're in serious trouble. Who is running the country? Like, I don't know who put the paper in front of him, but he didn't know.
That is Speaker Mike Johnson speaking to Barry Weiss in her outlet where she is doing wonderful reporting and getting to the bottom of a lot of stories that traditional media won't cover. And the reason why I'm playing this, why, Annie, on the first full day of Donald Trump's second term, are we talking about Joe Biden? And that conversation there was January of 2024, according to the timeline that the speaker gave, when he was discussing this conversation that took place in the Oval Office that he had to beg for as the Speaker of the House to speak to the President of the United States. Why is it that we're playing that clip? Well, I want to ask you something. If you paid attention yesterday to the events of the day, of course, we covered it here live on 97.1 FM Talk, and it's a real honor and a pleasure to be able to share these monumental historical moments with you. And we're grateful that you're here with us on the Annie Fry Show on 97.1 FM Talk. Did you listen to later in the day? Did you listen to later in the evening? Donald Trump react while he was signing executive order after executive order after executive proclamation. He's got the press pool surrounding the beautiful Resolute desk in the Oval Office. He's got his right-hand man standing there, Will Scharf, handing him each of these orders, kind of setting the table for the room like this is an order on declaring an emergency on our southern border. And Donald Trump, with every one of them, would go, oh, that's a good one, or that's a big one. He was reacting to all of these as they were being handed to him to sign into his executive action. And when it came to each of these individual signings, you'd have Will Scharf, who was very diligently trying to make sure that he could, you know, just a little bit prep the president on, okay, now you're going to sign this one, and now you're going to sign this one. Will Scharf was there at the Capitol right after the inauguration doing this. He was in the Capitol One arena at the table that they had with the presidential seal where he was signing more executive orders in front of the audience there. And then, of course, he was in the Oval Office with the press pool, who was invited in to experience this. Donald Trump signing each one consecutively while taking a pepper of questions from the media that were asking him about everything and anything. It was an open conversation from the man who is in the highest governmental elected position in our country and arguably the world, answering whatever it is that the press wanted to throw at him. And in the midst of those questions, out came the conversation surrounding Joe Biden and Donald Trump's ride to the inauguration. They leave the White House together, they get in the same limo, and they go to the rotunda where the inauguration, the oath of office, would take place. And the question was asked of Donald Trump, did you talk about the pardons? And Donald Trump's reaction in that moment was, no, he didn't tell me. And then he went on to talk about how it's a shame and a precedent that is a frightening one for the Biden family to set. For the Biden administration, for the presidency. It's a dangerous thing that he did to pardon these family members and to do it in the way that he did. Blanket pardon goes back 10 years and 1 month. He didn't tell Donald Trump any of that. And they didn't announce that it had happened until Donald Trump was delivering his inauguration speech. And I can't shake the feeling. I just want to know, and maybe we'll never know, but maybe some good journalist will look into it. This specifically, but also in a much broader sense, Does Joe Biden know that he pardoned his family? Just think about that for a second. If a year ago, Mike Johnson is sitting in a highly protected room surrounded by his staffers who are there to absorb whatever it is that Mike Johnson might throw at him, of course, the opposing party to the person who is the president of the United States. You've got a Republican speaker and a Democrat president. Isn't it a worthy question that deserves an answer? To know about Joe Biden's pardons that he signed without any pomp and circumstance, without any answering to the press, in the very, very last second of his presidency, where it did not come up in the limousine on the way to, on the beast, I suppose, on the way to the oath of office and the peaceful transition of power. Isn't it a fair question to ask? Did President Joe Biden know that he did that? That might seem like an absurd question to ask, but I actually think that it's a leading question among a whole host of things. That if Mike Johnson, in a meeting a year ago with Joe Biden, did not know that he paused LNG exports, was challenged on it. Yes, you did, sir. No, I did not. Joe Biden reiterated to Mike Johnson what he thought was happening with the action that was taken a year ago. Joe Biden did not know what his presidency was doing with the power of his own executive action. Many of the things that have taken place in the last couple weeks in the waning days of the Biden administration need to be investigated. Because, yes, we have some pardons here for family members. Adam Schiff, he squeaked one out, even though, you know, you listen to Adam Schiff. He's like, I don't know why anybody who's innocent would want a preemptive pardon, a blanket pardon. Who wants that? I don't know, Adam Schiff. Why don't you tell us? But we need to start looking deeper into what happened in the last 4 years. And I'm very, very pumped to be talking about the things that are even taking place right now in our country, the things that Donald Trump has signed over with his executive pen yesterday and will continue to do today. My understanding is at 3 p.m. today, we'll turn it over to the Mark Reardon Show, and there's supposed to be a transformative executive action, I believe, that has to do with infrastructure, a huge investment that is going to be made by this administration. And that announcement is to be made at 3 p.m. today. Schedules change, but that's the current timing on that. We know that Donald Trump has already aggressively pursued securing our southern border. We know that ICE is ready to work city to city to make sure that our cities can be made safe again, even in the face of the defiant Democrat-run mayors and governors of these blue states who choose to harbor illegal aliens over their own citizens to protect people who came here in the shadows over the people who live here and fund their very jobs. More executive action from Donald Trump to do, you know, basic things like, say, men can't beat up women in women's sports any longer, that we are going to acknowledge men and women. Common sense things like that. Yesterday was a day full of celebration. I could not stop smiling. I could not stop watching Elon Musk's ex, that probably was one of the leading reasons why we were able to celebrate a day like that, because we got our voice back. Watching video after video of people celebrating, of all walks of life, of diverse backgrounds in every possible way, the idea that there is some common sense that is back at the helm. Yesterday was a day of great celebration. But we have many questions to ask that deserve answers that we are now in a position to get answers from for the first time in a very long time. It is amazing to see. This is a word that was shared to me by a friend. Elon Musk goes in his Elon Musk way onto a stage and addresses a crowd full of people at Capital One Arena. And he's doing his goofy Elon Musk approach to the podium. He's jumping up and down. Like, if you don't know what Elon Musk looks like in a scenario, in a situation like this, you're like, you kind of like, whoa, what's he doing? He's super pumped. Fist bumping in the air, pumping his fists, making sure that everybody feels his energy. And he makes a gesture and he says, "My heart." And then he puts his hand over his heart and then he extends his hand out to the audience and says, "Is with all of you." Does it mimic a Nazi salute? I mean, in gesture, possibly. Is there any bit of Elon Musk that resembles fascist Nazism? No. And I saw PBS NewsHour or whatever. It's at NewsHour on X. I was watching Twitter, X, all day yesterday, and I see this post up, and they're like, Elon Musk makes a fascist salute. And it's like, you know what? We're not doing this crap anymore. Sit down, PBS, and while you're at it, give the taxpayers back the money that you're taking from them. Is Elon Musk a fascist Nazi? Because if he's not, sit down and shut the hole in your face. We're not doing this any longer. You can't just snipe one tiny little moment out of somebody's life and try to ruin somebody, cancel somebody for your own pathetic little cancel culture cause. We're not doing that anymore. We are free from that. We have been liberated from this oppressive, leftist, media-driven, talking head-driven way of saying we're in charge and we're going to tell you who's okay and who's not. And everybody is fair game every single day. If you cross us, we will ruin you. It's over. It's done. We are free from it. And so many people yesterday that were even on the other side of the aisle were like, PBS, this isn't it. This is not the moment. We're not doing this. And we're not. We're not doing it anymore. When people are racist, make sure that you confront the racism and put it in its place. But you don't have to go digging for it. You don't have to go looking for it. And if you're somebody who is trying to throw a nasty word like that at somebody so you can make some sort of political game, political point out of it, we need to acknowledge today, in this new America First common sense era that we have entered, we need to look at those people who are trying to use and impose racial division on America and point at them and make sure they know they are the racists. You're trying to use racial division for some sort of political point? Well, you're the racist, and we're done with you. There are good people and there are bad people. All the good people don't look alike. All the bad people don't look alike. Let's get back to the idea of calling it like it is, not worrying about saying what is real and true and offending the people on the other side of that conversation. If it's real and true, don't get mad at me. You can get mad at the truth. Do something to try to evolve it and change it in a way that makes the outcome be a little bit different. But we are back into the world of common sense, of open discussion, and it's led by one man, Donald Trump. And it is so good to be back. When we come back, we're going to speak with Congressman Mike Bost. We're going to talk about yesterday. We're going to talk about the House super, super tiny, slim majority. Congressman Bost of Illinois' 12th District is going to join us and give us the latest on what's going on in this very fresh and new Washington, D.C. Don't go.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
The search for truth never ends. Introducing June's Journey, a hidden object mobile game with a captivating story. Connect with friends, explore the roaring 20s, and enjoy thrilling activities and challenges while supporting environmental causes. After 7 years, the adventure continues with our immersive travels feature. Explore distant cultures and engage in exciting experiences. There's always something new to discover. Are you ready? Download June's Journey now on Android or iOS.
Hey, it's Gemma Spegg, host of the Open Mind original podcast, Mantra. Every Monday, I'll bring you a new mantra, a simple yet powerful phrase to help you clear your mind and stay grounded amidst the chaos. I'll also share some personal stories, journal prompts, and a weekly challenge to bring each mantra to life. Follow and listen to Mantra, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Open Mind Studios, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
It is day one of the second Trump administration. Donald Trump has been president for a grand total of 11 hours, and he wasted no time imposing his will on American government.
When will MSNBC and Stephanie Ruhle understand that the way that republic that you can have, if you can keep it, works by telling the people what you want to do? They get to choose to vote for you. They vote for you. And then you realize that the person who gets elected, that will is the will of the people. Well, it appears as though Stephanie Ruhle has not learned that yet. Let's get to our friend Congressman Mike Boss back with us on the Annie Fry Show, United States Congressman for Illinois' 12th District. Congressman, tell us about yesterday. What's it like in Washington, D.C.?
Annie, it is wonderful. It is yesterday and then carrying on into today. Think about this. But right after him giving his speech, where we were in the rotunda, and all the things he claimed he was going to do, he started signing executive orders to get those things done, over 200 of them, you know, and they actually are a lot of them common sense things to deal with broken the broken immigration system, signing order ending birthright citizenship. He's probably going to get challenged on that one because it's about a constitutional issue. Ending Biden's catch and release policies, can't challenge that. He is going to get that done, go back to where it was. Declaring migrant gangs like MS-13 foreign terrorists. And what does that do? That allows us to actually go to the root of the problem. MS-13, though they have cells here and the problems they're causing, we can actually go and if terrorism is identified, we can go into a foreign country and wipe them out according to and get them at the root of the problem. Declaring the border crisis a national emergency. What that does is allows the military to go in to help secure it. It's more of an administrative and manpower issue. Understand ICE will still be ICE. Border Patrol agents will still be Border Patrol agents. But until we send a clear message to remain in Mexico on the southern border, but yesterday we had a problem on the northern border that was pretty bad, but we knew that that's coming up too. So all of our borders are trying to get it on track. Important steps like getting the economy back on track. Also, in the terms that your listeners will understand as well as I, drill, baby, drill,
yep.
Become energy independent. And the good thing is go back to selling our reserve, to bring those prices down. To develop those markets is go back into Europe, on the Western Europe side of our allies and sell them natural gas, and then that cuts the stream off to Russia being able to sell it. Our gas is better than theirs, and we know it, and so does European countries. They'll be glad to see that come back. All of these things, and I'm going to tell you this, and I will admit this. My staff director is going through these 200 executive orders, and to be honest, I will tell you that we have not got through all of them yet. So that was a lot of things that happened, all between parades and balls and bouncing from ball to ball and all the different ceremonies. To tell you the truth, I've never seen very few people I've ever seen in life that have this energy, let alone any president that I've ever known.
Yeah, it was wild to take in. And Congressman, I'll tell you, we were watching some of this stuff last night, and my 12-year-old daughter was watching as I was taking in him sitting at the Oval Office signing those executive actions, the press all in there. And she goes, my daughter says to me, is he just answering questions from the media while he signs these executive orders? And I said, yeah.
Yep, and that's what he does.
She goes, can he do that? My 12-year-old's never seen anything like this before, mm-hmm. which is a little bit of an indictment on the former president and the way he handled his business.
Well, let me tell you this about his first time as president. I'm talking about Trump's first time as president. The first time I was on Air Force One with him. And yet you're in the plane, but then if he wants to meet with you, he'll call you back. And this was a smaller Air Force One. A lot of people don't realize there's two of them, and at any rate, but he has his desk, and he has one television behind him, one television in front of him, and he's talking to you and working on stuff, and he was actually able to watch both TVs at the same time, thinking about them, talking to me, because he would stop his information. Matter of fact, one of the people that showed up on TV at the time was Sean Duffy, who was then still an elected member of Congress, and he looks up and goes, hey, I like that guy. Yeah. He's a really good guy. He said, and all of a sudden he moves his hands up and down like you'd be climbing a pole. He's one of those, I said, he's a lumberjack. He said, yeah, that's what he is. Mm. And then he goes right back into the conversation where he and I were having before, never missed a beat. So he's a unique personality in that respect. But you would think, okay, it's 4 years later, maybe that slowed down. I think it speeded up.
Man, you can tell that he was ready to go. And then just taking in the different events of the evening, you were talking about bouncing from event to event to event. I have to say that I've never seen him look so happy before. I mean, of course, you win the presidency, especially in the fashion that he did. You'd be happy about it. But he looks genuinely joyful.
Yes, because his passion is not. And I know the naysayers, the Trump haters, blah, blah, blah. At any rate, The reality is, it truly is about what he can accomplish for the nation, not about what he's going to accomplish for Donald Trump. Now, does he like the fact that it's Donald Trump doing it? Sure he does. But his focus is on, oh, how do we make it better? How do we make it greater? How do we bring the economy back? How do we make people have the opportunities that this American dream offers, and aggressively allow that to happen? How do we keep our streets safe? How do we keep our borders secure? How do we make our enemies fear us and our allies trust us again? He's there.
We're speaking with Congressman Mike Boss, the representative from Illinois' 12th District. He's also the chair of the House Veterans Affairs Committee. Congressman, when it comes to Joe Biden's final actions leaving office, his pardoning of his family, the likes of Adam Schiff and Liz Cheney and a few others, are Democrats on Capitol Hill, are they like, well, we understand why he did that? Do Biden's actions affect the Democratic Party that's still in operation, even though he's gone?
Yeah, some it affects in the fact that they see it as, oh, now we got to try to defend that. Others haven't really paid attention, I don't think. They're still arguing among themselves on what caused the loss of the election. And I can tell you what caused the loss of the election, because some of their reaction to the things the president did actually show that they haven't got it yet. That the American people spoke. They want a secure border. They want energy independence. They want safe streets. They don't want illegals coming in and having crime and invading the country. They want to make sure that we're putting America first, that we're growing the nation, and that we're making sure that our kids are safe. They don't understand that we don't want people, men playing in women's sports And you know, Annie, I got a story I got to tell you, because I told it in a couple speeches yesterday. So the other day we passed the bill that dealt with that issue, the women playing in men's sports. And we spent that over the Senate. They're probably going to move it pretty quickly. The president's going to sign it. If we want someone, if one of my grandchildren or even someone else is under the age of 12 years old and is a member of Congress, I want to bring them on the floor. I can do that. And then when they're there, we normally take and a bunch of us stand around our voting boxes. And not that they're going to vote how they're going to vote how we want, but we let them put the card in and press the button.
Uh-huh.
Well, one of the guys had his grandchild there that was 6 years old. And the grandchild asked, "What are we voting on?" And he said, "Well, we're voting to stop boys from playing in girls' sports." He said, "Who would vote against that?" Huh. Now, he's put the card in and he's voting because different guys are coming up. Well, a Democrat had come in on the Republican side of the aisle, handed him the card and said, "You can vote mine now." And he started to press green, and he said, no, I want to be a red on that. And this six-year-old turned around and said, "Why would you want to be a red on that?"
Oh, man.
From the mouths of babes.
Amen to that.
I mean.
If they can get it, good grief.
Yeah.
A lot of people are scratching their heads about the Democratic Party. I guess it's kind of interesting to hear that so are the Democrats that are in the Democratic Party to an extent. Yep. A Democrat that you and I both suffer under here, the governor of the state of Illinois, J.B. Pritzker, is bashing President Trump's executive order ending birthright citizenship for children of illegal immigrants. He said, "That's unconstitutional. We will not follow an unconstitutional order." What side of history here is J.B. Pritzker going to fall on?
Well, first off, one thing is for sure, that is in the 14th Amendment, and that's what he's quoting. But you have to remember why the 14th Amendment was written. Now, I don't know whether the president's executive order will hold up, but I do agree that it was never written for the intent and the extent that what we're doing right now. The idea and intent of the 14th Amendment was passed along with, I think, the 13th, the 14th, and the 15th, which all had to deal with the fact that we had free men, those slaves that had been free. And the fear was that certain states in the South would not recognize those people as citizens. So that's why it was written, not knowing that it would make it to where people would come to this nation who are not citizens and deliver their children and then automatically would make them citizens. But that's a bigger issue to deal with. But, you know, I mean, as many states attorney generals will probably file against it, but it sends a clear message that maybe it's a debate we should have in the fact that, but now remember this, Annie, to change that would require a constitutional amendment. Now, let me explain this, that, you know, we want to make sure that understand why it was written. And even I think people in our black communities, African-American communities, know and understand that why it was written. And they're watching now so many people coming in, taking away the benefits that they might have if they have a need where they've paid taxes from somebody who's not even a citizen of this country, but their child is born here and now all of a sudden they are. So that's a bigger issue to be discussed. But for him to say, "Hey, we're just not doing it," I think the more concern that I have about the things he said he's not doing is the fact that we have all these gangs and criminals that have come across, mm-hmm. and he still remains a sanctuary city.
Yeah. I mean, it doesn't seem as though J.B. Pritzker's priority are the people who are paying the taxes, who are citizens of this state. And if you look around, especially in Chicago, boy, they've got a lot of problems up there. They prioritize all the wrong things, and they, of course, then get all the wrong results.
Right. And what is, I don't believe it even is the citizens that prioritize the wrong thing. It's just the politicians they keep electing. So and they've been voting Democrat so long that they don't realize you can change that.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing what J.B. Pritzker does in the next couple of years. Of course, there are no term limits for governor in the state of Illinois.
No,
I think he wants to be president, though. So we'll give him to the rest of the country.
Well, good luck with that, because I think that he's not keeping up with the changing of this United States. Because I'm going to tell you, you were not going to be able to, I don't think, in the years to come. And I may be wrong. You know, something might happen. You're not going to reelect a radical Democrat. Maybe if something really goes awry, because I've watched it happen over the years. But right now we're headed in the right direction, and you see the swinging back of the to more traditional family values. And as I said in a speech, I think yesterday, step away from the insanity and get back to governing in the right set of mind and common sense.
Yeah. It's good to be back. Congressman Bust, I know how we feel here. I can only imagine what it's like to be there and be a part of the action. And we want to stay connected with you. Have fun, but also get down to that business and get the things done that the American people want to have done.
We started early this morning. They already had the hearings for Doug Collins, who was Secretary of Secretary of the VA. We're looking forward to moving forward with that. We have been busy here just lining things up where we can lay those things down. I spent time in the chair this morning. I'll spend time in the chair this afternoon making sure we're moving things across the finish line.
We know you will. Congressman Bust, thank you so much. We appreciate
you. Thank you.
Take care.
All right. Have a great day.
You as well. Bye-bye. Hard not to have a great day these days. Oh, good to talk to him. That's an adorable story. I asked who the congressman was? I debated what congressman went over and handed a 6-year-old something to vote, knowing full well that it would be in the contrast of what their grandparent brought them onto the floor. Like, why would you do that? And then you get put in place by a 6-year-old. That's fantastic. Our YouTube poll for today. Very curious what you all think about the indoor inauguration. So yesterday we watched the oath of office haphazardly administered by Chief Roberts. What was he doing? I need to know the details behind that, because he really kind of blew it for President Trump and for his family, Melania, with the Bibles like scooching up at the end and sitting and standing over Donald Trump's behind kind of his left shoulder. The whole family was up there pretty much by the time the oath had been completed. But aside from that, having everybody packed into the rotunda, being able to observe all the different things with beautiful camera shots, the production value of being able to observe this from home was fantastic. The going room to room at the nation's capital, being able to see inside these beautiful buildings, Emancipation Hall, among some of these extra rooms in the Capitol that you could look into where he sat down and signed some of these executive orders, then going to the Capitol One Arena. That's a whole different type of vibe over there. And then back to the Oval Office to sign more executive orders. Do you like the indoor inauguration? I mean, boy, it would be unusual to move more into these kinds of events, but the security level is dramatically improved. The ability to protect the people, the president, the families, the attendees, all incredibly affected by doing it indoors. So I'm going to ask the question, should we do future inaugurations indoors? Yes or no? Love to know what you think about it. I'd be curious if any of you have ever been to an inauguration. I haven't, so I've never experienced the outdoor version of it. But if it's 10 degrees in Washington, D.C. in January, wouldn't you want to kind of get indoors instead? I'm thinking you might. Maybe not. Let us know what you think. Annie Fry YouTube channel. Go to youtube.com/@AnnieFry. You can watch us there and stream us there, but you can also download the Odyssey app. Take the whole station with you anywhere you go in crystal clear connection. AUDACY. Download that. Follow the Annie Fry Show there, 97.1 FM Talk. We'd love to have you. When we come back, we've got Ethan in for Wiggins America. We're going to talk about all the celebrities that were involved in Inauguration Day. Do you know all of them? Maybe you might have missed one. Ethan will tell us when we come back. Don't go away.
Wiggins! Oh! Wiggins!
Well, Ethan in for Ryan Wiggins today. Ryan will be back tomorrow. What do you got for us?
Well, Annie Fry, if you weren't aware, there was an inauguration yesterday.
Keenly aware.
We have a new president. His name's Donald Trump.
Woohoo!
He was also the 45th president, and he's now the 47th president of the United States. And, well, we've heard some stuff about some celebrities now all of a sudden liking him. Mm-hmm. Or I guess I should say being more public about liking him. Because that really wasn't a thing in from 2016 to 2020.
Not so much, no.
No, it wasn't. And there were a lot of big names that were associated with not only yesterday's inaugural events, but also even for the rally that was held the day before in Washington, D.C. to kind of get everyone excited for the inauguration day, as if people needed that.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just going to go ahead and go through some of these names because, you know, there was a lot of information that was coming out yesterday, and I'm here to give you the important hard-hitting news about the celebrities that were involved. You know, there's policies good and all, but we need to know the
who
rich,
is there?
The rich, famous, pretty people that have good voices. Who out there was supporting Donald Trump? I guess, I mean, yeah, you would say that that's a version of supporting Donald Trump,
right? I would say you're not making a statement against Trump. It was important for people, it seems, prior to, at some point, honestly, it might just be prior to the assassination attempt, I think, was the real turning point for a lot of people. Donald Trump talked about how after he took the bullet in his ear, he was getting phone calls from people you wouldn't expect. Like, The Rock was one of them. Like,
really?
Yeah, called him and wanted to talk to him, just say, I'm so happy that you're okay. And, like, just lending support. It used to not be enough to not say anything. Well, I would say you used to not say anything. Celebrities would stick to what they were good at, and it wasn't politics. And then I really think with the dawn of social media and the constant access to information that people had, people found it. And I think politicians worked it into existence. You had to be on the record all the time.
At minimum, if it's not pro-Trump, it's pro-America. It's showing a united front.
Which is enough.
Coming together and celebrating, I guess, the optimism that a large majority of the country is feeling right now.
Yeah.
So, you know what? I respect the heck out of anyone that was involved in any of these events, regardless of your political affiliation or feelings, no matter what. So let's get into some of the names. So let's go ahead and let's start with the actual main inauguration event, mm-hmm. which was at the Capitol Rotunda. National anthem was performed by Christopher Macchio, who is an opera tenor, for those that don't know. And I thought that I found some information as to how him and Trump, their relationship started, because now they're actually good friends. And Macchio actually first entered Trump's orbit, you could say, 9 years ago when he was asked last minute to fill in for a New Year's Eve celebration that Trump was hosting. He was such a hit that night that Rod Stewart, who was at that gala, asked Macchio to perform at his 70th birthday party. Macchio would also end up performing at the White House memorial service in 2020 for Trump's brother Robert, and that's kind of some of the steps as to how that relationship really picked up. It was just a few weeks ago. It may have been at an event that Trump was hosting, or a rally, that Macchio was there, mm-hmm. and he said, I'll see you in a few weeks. Trump said that to him, and Macchio didn't know what he was referring to.
Yeah.
He ended up asking him to perform, and he said there was no one else he would rather have performing the national anthem than him.
That's very cool.
Very cool. I think the one that stole the show yesterday, though, was our one and only Carrie Underwood.
Listen. We got to listen to it.
Go for it. Why not?
Yeah, let's listen to it, because it was so stunning. The music didn't play when it was supposed to. And it's one of those moments as a performer. I mean, we deal with technical difficulties all of the time here on this show. It's just the nature of the business. Everything we do is technical. And she took the moment and she ran with it. And it was perfect.
You know the words. Help me out here. Oh, beautiful. For spacious skies, for amber waves of grain, for purple mountain majesties.
Oh, that's so good.
So good.
Every time I think of it, I'm like, I'm going to go listen to it real quick.
When I first heard it yesterday, and I'm not going to lie, it hasn't just been the first time, but every single time. But that first time I heard it, when you hear the choir in the background mm-hmm. picking up the harmony mm-hmm. deeper into the song, mm-hmm. it's just, I don't know, there's something about that. I get goosebumps.
I get goosebumps listening to it. Off the air yesterday that I played four sports through my senior year of high school. My sophomore year, I went to Edwardsville High School for 1 year. And
go Tigers.
Yeah, go Tigers. When I was there, I tried out for concert choir, which was a class you could take, and I made concert choir. But of all of the athletic things that I ever participated in, when you're singing in a concert choir full of very qualified people and your voice melts into the choir voice, it's transcendent. There's something so amazing of being able to participate in something like that. I'm so glad that I was able to. It was just a wonderful program to be involved in. And listening to her lead that, and then, I mean, it's really such a beautiful song. To me, it was the right song for the right time, where all of these people were singing about brotherhood and this beautiful country we live in. And her voice is just perfect. Right. I mean, it's amazing.
Right. And there are actually some rumors going around that she wasn't a fan of how it all played out. But you know what? I mean, regardless of how she felt,
there's not much else she could have done.
She was a pro's pro in how she handled it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, very played it very cool. When, you know, in a moment like that, you're standing next to, it's probably, she's done a lot of big things. That was probably the most important room she's ever been in her life. And she played it as cool as can be, and it was phenomenal. A very impactful moment in yesterday's ceremonies, and just a lot of those moments. Okay, rapid fire time. Celebrities that were at the inauguration. The Paul brothers, Jake Paul and Logan Paul, both social media influencers, boxers. Conor McGregor, one of the greatest UFC fighters of all time. Theo Vaughn, the comedian, fell out of his chair.
Paul brothers rigged his chair?
I saw a, what are they called? The Twitter, the things under it.
Trending?
No, the fact check thing.
Oh, yeah.
I saw
community
one that,
notes.
Community notes. I saw one that said that the Paul brothers actually did that to him.
Yes, they did. He was set up by it.
Oh, so double Republican win there. Lee Greenwood performed God Bless the USA. Dana White, the CEO and president of the UFC. Joe Rogan, of course, host of the Joe Rogan podcast. Danica Patrick, the first female NASCAR driver. She's been a huge advocate for Trump. I believe she has a podcast is where she's been pretty publicly spoken about that. Of course, we all know Jeff Bezos and Mark Zuckerberg were there.
Bezos's
wife was also very clearly there. Elon Musk, we'd all know, of course.
You said Mark Zuckerberg, right?
I did say Mark Zuckerberg.
Okay.
Mark Zuckerberg was there.
Hey, I got a question, though. You know, Congress wasn't allowed to bring spouses.
Really?
The people who were in the room, there was enough room. Why was she there?
That's a good question.
I'm interested.
Yeah, I guess just maybe power gets you those kinds of things, Annie. I don't know.
Well,
or money.
That could be too.
Well, the other people who were very wealthy didn't have, I mean, it wasn't money.
Listen, there were also a lot of balls going on yesterday too.
Dances.
Yeah, those kind of balls. So, performers at the different inauguration balls. Lee Greenwood performed, as mentioned again. Rascal Flatts performed at the Commander-in-Chief Ball, as well as Parker McCollum. Gavin DeGraw headlined the Starlight Ball. Jason Aldean was at the Liberty Inaugural Ball, as well as Billy Ray Cyrus, What did I say?
Cyrus.
Billy Ray Cyrus.
He probably wishes his name was Billy Ray Cyrus.
I don't know
today.
What planet that guy was on. You
cocaine
just have to go watch
something.
It for
That's
yourself.
What people are saying.
St. Louis legend Nelly performed.
Yes.
Country Grammar, Ride With Me. Air Force Ones?
Did he not do Air Force Ones? I don't know.
Hot in Here. That was the other one that he did that I heard.
Yeah.
So, you know, love seeing St. Louis represent as well.
We're going to talk about Nelly in the 2 o'clock hour.
Okay.
I've got all that stuff listed from yesterday and it wasn't the time.
Sum it up, loaded day with celebrities supporting Donald Trump yesterday.
Yeah. And the events. And America, which is okay once again. Hooray.
Get more at 971talk.com.